money, Jordan Belfer. Stacking penny stocks while I'm flipping these birds. Sipping on Ciroc, trip them up with the words. I done popped the molly and I think it's be my third. Jordan Belfer.
What is going on, DGEN Nation? Kenny Kim here bringing you another Fantasy Golf Degenerates podcast this week for the Valspar Championship. Before we get into this week, I'd like to address our sponsors, DraftKings, who pays our bills. We have a nice little promotion by DraftKings coming up a little bit later on the show. Also, Fantasy National Golf Club. Go to fantasynational.com/FGD. Save yourself 20% on a membership to Fantasy National Golf Club. Usually, I would say everyone welcome my favorite Canadian at this point, but he's not here today. He's not going to be here for the next 2 weeks, lucky bastard, having a little two-week break. So everyone say hello to my favorite Floridian, Ryan Baroff. Ryan, how are you this week, my friend?
I am good, Kenny. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, it seemed like Tambo was taking a much-deserved and much-needed break.
Yeah, I think he's like flying out. We have to record this Tuesday because of what the fuck happened last week at the Players, that bullshit. And then you know, I think he's flying back in on Monday, so he will not be able to record.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, so we will go without him. It'll be me and Baroff for the next 2 weeks. Our honorary fantasy golf degenerate member, Ryan Baroff. Let's talk about this past week, the Players, the shit show that was the Players. I mean, honestly, we've gotten lucky as the season's gone on with the weather delays. It's just been perfect weather almost every single week. Every single round, barely any delays. It all sort of came to a head this past week at the Players Championship, with the final round heading, the second round finishing on Sunday at like 2 p.m. Brendan Steele with the last putt of the second round around 2:15 on Sunday. The groundskeeper did a really good job, letting the tournament finish by Monday. Let's go ahead and talk about the event. And of course, Cam Smith, what'd you think about the win? What'd you think about the event, Ryan? And how did you do this week?
Did terribly. Thank you. As we were talking about off air, I not only stacked the wrong wave, which I think a lot of people did. Yeah. I really didn't do it as a wave stack per se. I just liked more of the guys who were in that PM AM wave. But I also was very overexposed to Matsuyama and a few of the other withdrawals. So kind of bad luck, kind of bad building. I enjoyed the event as much as I could, having 0% Cameron Smith. But that dude's an absolute wizard. That was incredible to watch. And yeah, you guys got a taste of Florida weather. That's kind of what can happen here. It can rain and it can stop and go, or it can just not stop. Definitely fucked up my work schedule, my sleep schedule, all of the above. But at least we got some drama down the stretch. That was fun.
Yeah, so, I mean, at a certain point in that leaderboard, it looked like, like a fall series event. But that, that's the way the Players' Championship at TPC Sawgrass is played. We've talked about that before in the past. This is, of course, it doesn't favor anyone. It brings a lot of people into play. It makes it hard to handicap, makes it hard to bet. And it was definitely difficult. You saw the leaderboard back there. You see Keegan up there. I mean, guys, Hoagie was up there again. Guys you wouldn't really think that would be in there for such a huge event, a $20 million purse. Something about like the top four golfers made like $8.7 million. And I think the total purse this week is $7.8 for the Valspar Championship. So big week for a lot of those guys. For me personally, I really wanted that Cam Smith ball to go in the water on 17. I thought it had a chance because I live bet Arbonne Lahiri at 200-1 on Friday morning. So that was my sweat. I've been live betting pretty well, and this is the one guy I had, for me, I way stacked as well. I went AMPM. I had like 21 golfers AMPM. PM AM, and then like 11 golfers AMPM. And then I did about 12 real way stacks out of my 60, so about 20%. And then I did like two that were AMPM because that's what we've talked about that before. Sometimes it doesn't go the way you think it's going to go. It definitely didn't go the way we thought it was going to go with the way the weather was delayed early on. And then the AM PM or the PM AM crowd, or who had the advantage? It was the AM/PM crowd.
The AM/PM, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Having to just skip Saturday, basically, yeah. You know, until, yeah, they're really, really lucky for them. Three stroke difference in the way.
Massive.
Yeah, huge, huge. Yeah. You know, personally, though, hopefully you guys caught my change in my cash game cornerstones. I put it on Twitter. I rarely do it. I've done cash game cornerstones for about 4 to 5 years. I might have switched it. This might be the third time I've ever switched in the middle of the week. And the reason I switched, I went from Vegas to Keegan Bradley because I thought Keegan was going to be in the better wave. Now, it didn't turn out that way. Hey, but, you know, sometimes the sun shines on a monkey's ass every now and then. And it worked out. Keegan was a nice little change for my cash game cornerstones, even though it wasn't because of the reason I thought it was going to be. But I'll take it. So another 4-for-4 week with the cash game cornerstones. Thank you, Scott Piercy, for going 5 over on the last two holes to not only drop the cut line, the +2, also to miss the cut as he was in the top 20, I think, top 25, going into the last two holes of the second round. I think it's the third 4-for-4 I've had in the last 4 or 5 weeks. So we're picking up a little steam. We're doing okay. I literally hate my cash game cornerstones this week. So more than likely, they are going to do well. So we'll see how that goes. Anything else catch your eye about this? Like, how are you going to look at this event? Or are you going to look at it at all when going back and trying to figure out which golfers to use the next few weeks? Is this just a dud? Or how do you go about
it? Mostly a dud. I think you can basically ignore some of the stuff. I mean, we'll talk about Matt Fitzpatrick, right? Missed the cut. He was in the wrong wave. A lot of that was putting. You know, he putted terribly, had the bad weather. Like, maybe that's something you can ignore. I think that's one. And then just, like, some final takeaways from the final round. When the weather finally sort of calmed down, they had a full day. Like, I mean, no one really talked about Dustin Johnson tying the course record and shooting 63. That's something
18-1 this week. 18-1 this week.
About.
I bet that.
Like, yeah, maybe not this week. Maybe this week, maybe not. But, like, you talk about match play, you talk about Augusta. Yeah, that's a very interesting one. So,
yeah, it looked like, you know, after a little bit of, you know, a roller coaster type of season so far, mostly on the downhill, except, you know, when he went to Saudi, he played pretty well there. You know, it looks like the game was coming back up for DJ. I think you could take the good stuff from this. I think any poor play, I think you can just sort of boot out the side, even the people that had the good wave, because just, you know, not playing for 2 days, you know, in that wave, I think that can affect people as well from the first round to the second round. I think you could take the good and just eliminate the bad from this event when it comes down to it. All right. So let's get to this. What are we going to talk about now? Let's talk about our listener league. I keep forgetting Tambo's not here to guide me. Yeah, you know, I've had a pretty crappy 24 hours. You know, I had that miscue, second place runner up. I failed my first final inspection. This is like my 7th job. Failed that yesterday. I got everything fixed today, and I'll be able to pass tomorrow. But you know, first failing of a final inspection I've had on an office build would suck. This morning I found out that, like, all my emails haven't been coming through. Like, I figured it was light, but, you know, in the last week, but it was like just enough emails coming through to, like, make me not worry. And then I found out I missed like 120 emails in the last week. And then the worst part about that is I'm ending a current office build and I'm starting a brand new office build. And I am the estimator, project manager, and superintendent for both those jobs. So, yeah, missing those emails sucked. It's not been good. Today was not a great day. So if I am not as jovial as I usually am on the Fantasy Golf Generals podcast, that is your reason why. I'll try, but I can't guarantee it. Let's move on to the listener league this week that I do not have up and I am not ready, but I will find for you guys as quickly as possible. All right, so the winner this week was... Oh, yeah, and I lost a 3-man to Tambo. Tambo finally won one. But good for you, Tyler. Finally won a 3-man. I think the second one he's won this season so far. So let's go ahead and look at this. The winner was JD 92493 with a Victor Hovland avatar. up there. Hovland with like 2,7500 strokes gained ball striking this past week, looking real strong out there from tee to green outside of around the greens, which, you know, he is second to last in the PGA Tour this year in strokes gained around
the green. Now he's last, just so you know.
Oh, is he dead last now?
He's dead last now. Yep.
There you go. All right, so JD 92493 with the Victor Hovland looking stone picture, which is every picture Victor takes. He looks high as shit. I don't know what it is. Oh, and then Victor, what did, oh, before we get into this, what did you think of Hovland and Dahman against Berger? You know, usually it's Berger the one who's the cop. It looked like it was the tides were switched on that one. And I think Hovland and Dahman were sort of in wrong. It didn't look like it was the place they wanted him to go back. Did not look like the correct place. What did you think of all that? And mad respect to the PGA Tour for actually posting that whole entire encounter. Yeah. I like that. That was nice of them to do that. Usually they just sort of blur those out and try to make all these golfers perfect and stuff like that. And that's just not the case. What did you think of that little episode with those guys?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it's hard to tell from video. It's hard to tell from the shot tracer, which is not always accurate. I mean, I believe all of them had positive intent. I think Berger said, I think it crossed where he thought it crossed. And from where Hovland was standing and Joel Damon was standing, I think they felt that way. But at the end of the day, it's two against one. Like, that's
yeah.
it.
Like, yeah, he had to go back. It's two against
one. I think
one.
They compromised somewhere. But, like, he's not going to get that drop when the two of them say no.
No. Well, actually, the guy said, the rules official came and said, you, Daniel, it's your choice. It's your shot. You pick where you want it. You know, and Berger did the correct thing by saying, well, it's two against one. I can't go against him, even though I think they're wrong as shit. Now, we've seen this happen the last couple of weeks. Yeah. There was a one with Laird and Casey calling someone out from another hole 100 yards away the week before when Scheffler won. Yeah. Now, do you think this is normal? I think it's normal. I think this happens a lot more than people will see. We're just seeing it more on video now. Or do you think there's an uptick in this type of situations, and is there a reason for it?
I think there's an uptick because more guys get in the water. Look, they're playing for a lot of money. And this was the final round of the players, and they're literally playing for millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. I think that had something to do with it. If this was on a Thursday or Friday, whatever, we probably would never even have seen the video.
All right. I agree. Sorry, JB92493 for breaking away, but your listening lineup was the winner and it was solid. You had Victor Hovland. Had to have Victor Hovland there. If your avatar is going to be high ass Victor Hovland. So we had Victor, 96.5 points, finished in ninth place. Cameron Smith, the winner, 8% own, 121 points. Scottie Scheffler, who just barely made the cut, but made the cut, 26.1%, 61 points. Sungjae Im, who made the he made the cut as well, 11% own, 56 points. Adam Hadwin, who might be a favorite this week, 6.6% owned, 79 points. And Seaweed Doug Kimchi, 0.5%, 86.5 points. What'd you think of the lineup there?
I mean, that could have won GPPs.
I think,
not just having Cam, who was low owned, but Victor Hovland was fairly low owned. Doug Kim was obviously not owned at all. And kind of hung in there. Like, he didn't have a great Sunday, but I think he still finished close to the top 10. Yeah, that was a good team. I didn't have a lot of those guys. As I mentioned, I had 0% Cam Smith. I also faded Sungjae Im, even though he faded on the weekend. I had Hadwin. That was one that I had quite a bit of. But yeah, I mean, very solid team.
Good lineup there, brother. JD, we will put you in the four-man this week with myself, Tambo, Ryan, and you to see who can go win that this past week for bragging rights in like $3.70. So sure. You can't forget about the money. All right, so let's get to this week. Valspar Championship, another Florida course, moves to Tampa, around the Tampa. Tampa, great place, great strip clubs. Oz. Oz is a strip club that I went to down there. If you're ever in Tampa, go to Oz. It's great. Let's see, the last time I went there, I will tell this story before we get into it. The last time I went to Oz, it'll be the last time I ever bring, I know I'm getting old now as I'm telling this story, because the last time I went to Oz was In the summer, went there for a little mini vacation, went back down there, bottle service, VIP. That's just how I roll when I go to the strip clubs. And, you know, I gave the big guy in the front who was seating people at the VIP, I gave him $100. So he let me pick every single girl that I wanted to come sit with our group. So, you know, I'm picking, you know, the hottest girls there is. And really, really, like, you get nines or tens at us. And so I'm there. You know, there's one girl that I really, really, yes, she was beautiful. So yeah, I'm gonna take her back into the champagne room. You guys know what happens in the champagne room. But she just kept all bugging me about, you want to bring my friend? Can we bring my friend? I mean, she was hot too, and I was like, fine, fuck it, bring your friend. So you know, little threesome back there in the champagne room. And the issue is, I think I'm at the age where it's just too much going on at one time, like too much titties and like too much bouncing around and too much legs flying in the air. I am not a fan of multiple women anymore when it comes to that type of situation. When I was younger and more virile, yes. But now I think I am getting old. I can't do that anymore. And I don't want to pay double the price. Sticking with one woman at a time, that's the way it's going to go. I have learned my lesson at Oz, another good strip club at Tampa, is the one that's shaped like a UFO. There is a Mons Venus.
Yeah.
The strip club is shaped like a UFO, and the VIP room is in the UFO top. It's weird. All right, that's enough strip club talk. Let's get to this week, the Valspar Championship in Tampa, Copperhead course at Innisbrook Resort. Great course, sort of like last week, brings everybody into play. Really no special type of golfer consistently wins this event. This is probably one of the best fields they've ever had for this event. We'll see if there's any more withdrawals. There was a few, but still pretty, pretty strong field we're having, especially up top. When we get a little bit to the middle and lower, it gets a little ugly. You know, plenty of course history here. Tournament hasn't played since 2000. There was course changes around 2016, so you might want to just use those from 2016 on when you do your course history. One of the hardest courses on tour, perennially in the top six most difficult courses year in and year out. Weather and wind can play, you know, major factors here. 50 mile per hour is the norm. It's calling for like 10 to 20. I think there might be a one day where the gust can go up to 30 miles per hour. Again, we saw what happened last week. We'll have to check it out to see if there is any wave stacks that we're going to look for that we can get wrong once again. There has been a decent amount of rain in Tampa, you know, this month. And there's some rain in the forecast Tuesday and Wednesday. So the early rounds could play a little bit softer. You might see a little bit easier scoring on Thursday and Friday. The weekend should bring in the more fast and firm conditions. You know, it's a Copperhead course. 7,300 plus yard. Par 71, five par threes, four par fives. Of course, usually one of the most difficult par 71 tracks on tour. It's known for the snake pit, very tough three-hole stretch. You guys in Florida, you love those names of those three-hole stretch, difficult three-hole stretches. You got the bear trap, the snake pit, 16, 17, 18. 16 always catches my eye here, you know, because it has the dog leg right off the tee. You know, and then water lining the whole right side, the fairway making accuracy, you know, it's a must. If you overcompensate, hit it left, trees come into play. If you overfade it or, you know, overdraw it, if you're a lefty, it's going in the water. It's a great hole where you'll see a myriad of clubs being used off the tee. I think like 6 years ago when Charles won here, this is the one that sticks out in my mind, hit an iron off the tee, left himself like a 210-yard approach on Sunday on his way to par and the win. Bill Haas, who's in the lead at the time, perfect three-wood off the tee, but short-sighted his approach, leading to a bogey, eventual playoff loss. Routinely, 16 is one of the hardest hole on the course and one of the most difficult holes on tour. Copperhead, deceptively long. Four of the five par threes are over 200 yards. All the par fives are over 550. Only one par four is under 420 yards. The fact that driver off the tee is not really the best play on most holes, and the course becomes really daunting. You know, a lot of long irons, 175, 200, 200 plus. You're going to see a bunch of those. You guy better be good at the long irons this week. Off the tee, golfers are going to see you know, tight tree-lined fairways, massive dog legs, thickest rough, elevation changes, many bunkers, water in play on only about five holes. The fairways are average in size, but they tend to get really, really narrow at the 300-yard mark and above. That's why you're going to see a lot of less than driver this week. Copperhead, one of the shortest on tour, routinely ranking in the bottom six in average driving distance. Precision and placement, more important than length of driver left in the bag. Greens usually firm, average stint meter speed around 11 to 12, unless you land the ball above the hole, since most of the greens here are sloped from back to front. The greens are average in size, and you take into account only square footage, but they're going to look a lot smaller for the tour players just because they're going to be hitting those mid to long irons on their approach shots for the majority of the holes. There are also some very long, skinny putting surfaces, which skews the average size of the greens. The par 3 4th and 14th come into mind as greens that are like long and skinny, landing areas very, very small. As with most courses in Florida, the grass on the greens will be Bermuda grass and is overseeded with poa, but there has been some of times, depending on when this event is placed, where the poa ends up becoming dormant and it's pure Bermuda. Maybe, Ryan, do you have an idea of what that is going to be like this week since you are in Florida?
Yeah, I mean, it should look a lot like last week, right? Where it's it looks nicer, right? It looks like bent. It looks like something very smooth. And I think what that does, you know, it definitely allows, we call it bad putters, to do okay. I mean, you obviously saw Paul Casey win here twice in a row. I've seen Corey Connors get close here. Streelman won here. Woodland's played well here. Bubba's played well. Like, not necessarily good putters. So, yeah, definitely, I think you nailed it. Premium on ball striking, accuracy. It is a longer course, but it does play firm, right? So I think, again, brings a lot of guys in here. It's really going to be focusing on that long iron play.
Well, you know, you would think that, like, you know, last week in a course where typically less to driver, you know, narrow-ish fairways, guys who can hit the driver and be super accurate would be fine. Colin Morikawa, that did not work out last week, and he was in the wrong wave, so we can give him that. But I'm probably going to go back to him again this week. Let's go to this top tier. Before we get to the DraftKings tiers, let's go ahead and pay some bills.
College basketball fans, join the action on the court during the biggest tournament of the year with DraftKings Sportsbook. Turn your team's victory into your own big win. New customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. It's that simple. If they win, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still join the College Hoops action with DraftKings Pools. Everyone can play free. Pools all march long for a shot at a share of over $250,000 in prizes. Simply join a pool and answer questions like who will make it to the next round and who will hit the most three-pointers, and then track your results. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code FGD. Bet $5 on any College Hoops team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. If they win, you win with promo code FGD this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. 21 plus, restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
All right, so let's get to these tiers. Let's start up in the 10K range. We got DJ all the way to JT. How are you going about this top range this week, Ryan?
I don't know. So I'll start with who I don't like. I'm probably not going to play Xander, even though he's going to be the lowest owned. He just hasn't played well in Florida. Obviously did not play well last week. And really just seems to be in a little bit of a rut. You know, he's had some decent finishes, but like, even when he seems to be playing well, he is obviously not winning, but he's lacking that extra gear. Like, okay, he's 12th, 15th or 18th or 20th, but it's just not getting into the top five and not contending. And for 10,300, you need him to win or contend.
Yeah. So who do you like?
In a vacuum, Justin Thomas seems like the best play, but you know, he's 11K, excuse me, probably going to be the highest owned of these guys. I mean, Hovland, he's just been so good. I don't know how you don't have him number one here above the other guys. I think ownership will dictate. Very interested to see what happens with Morikawa after being like the highest owned stud last week, missing the cut. Now coming to another course that, although he hasn't played here, seems like would be perfect for him. Yeah. I usually don't play a lot of Morikawa. I'm guessing I'm not going to do it this week. So I guess if I had to rank them, for me, it is Hovland 1, JT 2, Dustin Johnson 3.
Yeah, I'm going to play Dustin. I think Hovland's going to be my favorite play, but I'm going to play a lot of DJ as well. Those two are going to be the two guys I'm going to try and mix and match. I'm going to throw in Morikawa as well. I'm going to start the majority of my lineups with three guys from here. It's going to be DJ Hovland and Morikawa. I got DJ and Hovland 1A and 1B. And then, you know, if you put a gun to my head, I would probably have Hovland ranked higher than DJ. But I really liked what I saw with Dustin Johnson on Sunday. That was, you know, an eye-opening round. It seemed like he was back, and he played pretty well the first round, too. So, you know, half the round, and the others, you know, it was a mess in between. So you can't really judge him based on that. So I like the way he's playing. I put the bet on JT, on DJ. I like it at 18-1, the fifth favorite in this field. I'll go ahead and put my money down on Dustin Johnson this week. And so, I'm going to start my lineups with those three guys. If I'm going to rank him, Hovland first, DJ second, and then Morikawa third. I'm hoping for a little bit of Morikawa, like maybe we get him at like 13% or something like that and get lucky instead of his usual higher percentage that we normally see for him. All right. So in the 9K range, I'm going, my three cascade cornerstones are going to be in this range. I'm going to go again. Once you get below the 9K range, you know, the win equity, I think, is really, really drops a lot. You know, a lot more than you saw last week, or you'll see in a major or something like that. So, I want to go three studs, one punt. That's what I'm doing again. It's been working well for me. You know, ever since I did this change, this season's been a little bit more of an upswing when it comes to my cascade cornerstones. As you know, from the pandemic to the end of last season, hasn't been that great. So it's sort of catching up, getting this new flow. So the first cascade cornerstone is going to be Louis at $9,900. Of course, you know, the iron game is always strong. He gets to tee to green is really good. Bogey avoidance, I think, is something that's going to be needed. And he's top 10 in that in the field in the last 50 rounds. Of course, his course history here is really, really solid. One thing I did catch from at the fantasy grind, I think a few of the winners, like two of the last five or something like that, have a miscut at this event the year before. So it's not all course history, but you know, when it comes to cash, for me, I tend to weigh course history a little bit more than I would for my GPP plays. So that's how I'm going. So Usti as my first cascade cornerstone. Second cascade cornerstone is last year's winner, Sam Burns, who was in contention until he fell off a little bit on Sunday. His game looks like he went through a little bit of a lull, got back into Florida. He loves Florida, and it looks like his game has returned since it's come back to Florida. Once again, you know, the iron play, once again, real strong. Course history, great. I don't think you're going to have to make too much of an argument for Sam Burns with, what, two or three wins in the last year and a half. So you know he can win. Usti, maybe not win. Podium. Podium for Usti. I'll take that for him. And then I'm going to answer, again, another guy who looks like he has been playing a little bit better here recently. The iron game has looked a little bit better overall, and you're coming back to a course that he's very, very comfortable with. Again, he was, you know, involved in the first few days last week, you know, and it fell off a little bit towards the end, but I do like him. You know, he has that win at Southwind, which is not a similar course, but you know, you could see similarities between the two if you needed to. And so I like answers. So those three guys I'm using in cash. For GPPs here, I think Kokrak's going to be the most popular. What do you think when it comes to popularity outside of the three that I just listed? You think people are going to go back to Kokrak? His finishes haven't been that great, but his performance here has always been strong. What do you think of Kokrak?
I think he's overpriced. I think that'll keep the ownership down. I would be shocked if he's over 10%, honestly.
Okay. That makes it better for GPPs. Yeah.
And he played okay last week. I think on Sunday, like halfway through round three, he may have been like two under, something like that. And then he faded a little bit. But I think that's a very interesting one. Curious to see the ownership on Matt Fitzpatrick after burning everybody last week at a much lower price. Again, I think it's a great course fit. I love the bounce back candidates. If he is 8, 9, 10% owned, I'll certainly be overweight there. I think I'm going a little different. My favorite is Burns also. I think he just has a lot going for him here. answer makes sense, but I expect the popularity.
Yeah.
I think the one guy that I like that I'm not going to play is Shane Lowry. I just think he's due for a letdown. Stats are great. Seems like he makes sense here, but I think he's played a lot of weeks in a row now. I think he's just kind of ready for a break. I'm not going to play Louis. I think he's overpriced. Iron play wasn't great last week. He didn't even putt that well. And if Louis's not going to gain two or three or four strokes putting, he's not going to do anything for you. Like that's kind of what you need out of him.
I think one thing about Louis is this is the first time we'll see him in back-to-back weeks this season. I think, you know, having a little bit of flow, even though I mean, how much flow can you get after?
I don't know how much flow there was.
Yeah, he could be right about that, but at least he's playing back-to-back weeks. We'll see how.
Well, is this going to be three in a row for him? Because I don't expect him to skip the match play. So maybe he is he's going to take an early departure here. And
my God, don't say that. Don't say
kind of head out to the match play. But I just think for him, if he's not putting well, he's not going to do anything for you. I'm not going to play Hatton at that price either. Very interesting one is Brooks. I kind of never play Brooks. I played Brooks last week, got bit like everybody else. But he makes sense here. Like he should putt well on these greens. His long iron play is good, but he just hasn't been good. But I could see Brooks anywhere from like 4% to 12% this week. So I'm just kind of have to see that.
If he's 4%, I mean, you sort of have to play him, right?
He could be. I mean, everyone's going to play Burns. Everyone's going to play Answer. A lot of people are going to play Louis. A lot of people are going double stud and then skipping this range entirely. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like Brooks may not be popular this week.
Yeah, I mean, I see that. I mean, people go, what, DJ Morikawa to start. I mean, it's not the worst.
Yeah, then you got to hop down until probably mid-sevens. Yeah.
Yep. All right, so let's go to this 8K range. Ryan, why don't you go ahead and start?
Very interesting range here. The only guy that I'm excited to play, and it's hard to be excited to play Bubba Watson, but I think I am. He's done okay here. His form's been good. People will look at his finish last week and not realize that he actually played really well for a couple of days.
He did.
Really almost 3 days. I think he was like minus four halfway through Sunday. So as kind of starting round three. And he's at this price point where, again, he's just not going to fit a lot of people's bills. Like, unless you're going like 9K, 9K, and then Bubba as your number three guy. Certainly like him a lot. I'm also using, I don't know if this makes sense or not, I'm using TPC River Highlands as kind of one of my favorite comps here, which I usually try and keep it a lot more geographical than that. But if you just look at like the two guys with the best course history there are Casey and Bubba. Russell Knox has won there and played well here. Streelman has won both places. Keegan has played very well at both places. Chez has played okay at both places. Like I just think there's a lot of overlap between those. So, and that's obviously one of his favorite courses. So he's the one guy that I'm excited to play. for GPPs, I don't think you're going to get a better spot for Webb Simpson. He is going to be 1% owned. A few people played him last week just because he was cheap. Now he's not cheap. This course should suit him really well. And if he is healthy and if he kind of got through some rust last week, like, I don't know. That could be a big difference maker this week.
Yeah,
GPP only, to be clear.
Yeah, many people consider this not really a Florida course, more of a Carolina type of setup and course here at Copra, and you know that should suit Webb pretty strongly. I don't mind that play at all. I like that for GPPs just because you know he went through, he made it through a couple of rounds last week. There was rumors that he had a neck surgery. I heard that rumor. I don't know if it's valid or not, but if he's out here playing again this week, he's probably healthy. And you have to think Keegan's going to be popular. I did bet Keegan for the first time ever in my life. 50-1. I don't know what I'm thinking. I put the money down. My betting card is horrible this week. So I was like, who else? I went Answer and DJ. And I was like, I have no idea what to do after that. I was like, I have no clue. Let me throw some Keegan. Let me throw some Hadwin out there. That's basically
what I think Keegan, I mean, obviously makes sense. probably due for a huge letdown after how he finished last
week. You would think. Well, I mean, 11th and 5th or something like that. 11th and 6th, yeah. Back-to-back weeks. Pretty good, you know. He's on a little mini heater, and he likes this course. Yeah. It fits because, you know, he's accurate off the tee, iron game strong. It makes a lot of sense. The putting, you said earlier, that you see shady putters do well. He makes sense. And I think I am going to use him. We'll see what the ownership is, because if he's like a chalky, it's chalk.
Him and Woodland could get very popular this week. Yeah. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we'll see how people really take into effect course history, because Woodland's missed the last three cuts here. Yeah. So we'll see. People are getting a lot sharper on that angle when it comes to DFS players. They are not looking just at course history like it did 4 or 5 years ago, right? Where it was like the second most important thing that people looked at. You know, it's sort of been pushed down the rankings there a little. What about Russell Knox? Another good finish last week. He's made like six cuts in a row, all at 33rd place, and finally broke through with a 6th place finish last week. He's played well here. 8,100 doesn't seem unfair for the way he's playing. Are you playing him?
Seems a little high for this field. That's my only concern. But no, I mean, he raced out exceptionally well, played well last week. I mentioned TPC River Highlands. He won there. So that's good for something. So yeah, if Knox is not going to be popular, then I would certainly probably take an overweight stance there.
All right, let's go to this 7K range. Hadwin just jumped.
Everyone's going to play Hadwin.
Yeah. I think he might be one of the most popular golfers out there. I bet him at 60-1. If he's the chalky as a chalk, like I said, any 7K chalk, a lot of times is worth the fade. We'll see what the ownership happens. Now, if you're going to stray from him, I mean, like you said, Streelman has had pretty good course history here. One guy who I don't think is going to get too far owned is going to be Molinari. If you look at Francesco, not bad tee to green last week. He's made a bunch of cuts in a row. I mean, this is the most cuts he's made in a row in a long, long time. And maybe his game is back. A lot of the courses that he made the cut on, a little long. You know, Genesis Farmers made the cut, longer courses. Now, this one's not necessarily short, but, you know, he's going to be more in tune with how everyone else is going off the tee because it is a true less-than-driver course. So I do like Molinari in this top end. Who do you like in the top 7K range there?
Yeah, pretty similar. I think I'm going to play Hadwin. Just going to have to get unique with builds and all of that. You mentioned Streelman, big fan of him. On paper, Aaron Wise makes sense. But Aaron Wise is terrible, and Aaron Wise is always over-owned.
Yeah, everyone loves to play Aaron Wise. I can't play him. I am anti-Aaron Wise, too.
But he seems to have improved in terms of he's not making as many huge mistakes, so he's a little more consistent. But, like, I'm not excited to play Aaron Wise. After that, I mean, Vegas continues to show up in models, but I'm not super excited about that. And then I got a bunch of plays lower, but that's probably it. Like, I'm going to play Hadwin overweight. I'm going to play Streelman overweight. That's probably it from that group, you know, above.
Why don't you go down to the 7K range, the lower 7K range? Go ahead.
So there's a few here.
I have a few. I like more people.
So you saw Doc Redman. Yeah, so you saw Doc Redman show up last week. And again, I'm not putting a ton into last week. But he held his own all weekend. He was playing with Rom. He was playing with JT. Like, he was in really strong pairings and playing really well all weekend. And earlier this year, like the last on the West Coast, his ball striking was good. Like, the iron play was coming back, Pebble, Torrey Pines, things like that. So I'll certainly play some of Redman. One guy who I never play is Denny McCarthy. I hate playing Denny McCarthy because it's usually all putting and short game. But I was taking a look at
the – It worked last week.
I was looking at that kind of 175 plus range, right? And I ran the rolling report on Fantasy National. Well, awful, right? In his last 100 rounds, he is 138th. In his last 50 rounds, he's 109th. But then listen to this. In his last 24 rounds, he's 63rd, and then 38th, and then 12th, and then 10th. So does this mean that he's improved his long irons? I guess. Is it sustainable? Maybe, but that's the trend that I like to see. And if Denny McCarthy can hit long irons, he's going to be in the top 10 here. Like, there's no doubt about that. So I like him. I like Redman. I like Svensson again. I think he's going to be fairly popular. And then my favorite GPP play this week is going to be Alex Smalley. You mentioned course history. He has none, has never played here before. But I mean, that guy's good. He does a lot of things really well. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes and he can score. I think we saw him make most of the cuts on the West Coast and kind of throughout the Florida swing. And I like to buy these guys low and low owned while they're young and we don't know a lot about them. And Smalley's definitely one of those guys who I think will be here for a long time.
Yeah. For me, I like Schwab, a couple of top tens in a row. Might as well throw it out there, see if you can keep the heater going. And then, you know, the long iron play, last 50 rounds, Martin Laird and Adam Svensson. I think they make a lot of sense this week as well. Maybe a little CT Pan. I know Steve Bamford was big on Pan this week, so I'm just going to go ahead and tail him on that. 104 to 1. Steve is too sharp, so, you know, I'll go ahead and play him, even though I didn't see it when I first looked. I read his article. I was like, well, Steve says he's going to bet him. I might as well play him and bet him too. So we'll go CT Pan and then the two guys, Laird and Svensson down here. Mito sort of rates out well. What are you doing, Mito? Is he good enough to play now? Is Mito season over?
I don't play Mito very often.
I don't either.
He certainly rates out really well, and I think he's going to continue to rate out well until we get more numbers. He doesn't have the upside for DraftKings scoring, right? Yeah. Like, he's had so many rounds. Even when he plays well, he's making like three birdies a round.
Like, but not many bogeys. Not many bogeys. And that's the thing is, you know, you see a course like this where it could be single digit under par wins. You know, the bogey avoidance could be a big deal. We saw a few weeks ago we had like three birdies and finished in the top 10. We're still, you know, top 15 in DraftKings scoring because of the placement points.
Yeah, but like compare Mito at that same price, right? With a guy like Svensson, the birdies he can make, Martin Laird, Patton Kizzire, who the guy fucking makes birdies and street. He had 10 birdies on Sunday, same as Cam Smith. And even right below that, like a guy like Charlie Hoffman, maybe he's not healthy right now, but like I would rather take birdie upside than play a guy like Mito.
All right, I think you might have talked me into Denny.
I never play Denny, but I feel like he also has this rap of like play Denny on short, easy courses. And I think all of that is going to keep the ownership down.
Yeah. We'll see. Because my two final cash plays are going to come from this range. And I had an idea what I was going to do. Now I don't. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Why don't we go into the 6K range? Ryan, I will let you start because I have no clue.
Yeah, there's a few. I think at the top, I was going to say Griot, but he's flat 7. I may play some Griot. But Pat Perez for 6,900 has still just been really good, making cuts. Iron play has been fine. He's been putting fine. He's done well at this course, too. And, like, really, all you need is a guy who can get a top 25 or 30 at this price. So Pat Perez seems pretty good. Reavie rates out well. But, again, are you excited to play Ches Reavie? I don't know. Not necessarily. But I mentioned this kind of when we started, but my play this week is Cramer Hickok. I think he'll get a little bit of steam. Mayo may have bet him and he's going to be talking about him, but still like for 6,500, he's going to be like 5% owned, 6% max. I bet him at 351, just a crazy number. He's been really good. He gained 5.9, I think, ball striking last week at the Players in that field. Yes, he was in kind of the better wave, but that is nothing to bat your eye at. He's been really solid for really the last 8-9 months. And I mentioned using TPC River Highlands as a comp. He lost in a playoff to Harris English there. That was his best performance. Had a couple of good fall swings. So for 6,500, I don't think there's anybody else down here who I would play above Green America.
Yeah, I mean, I got him at 250 to 1 on DraftKings Sportsbook. I'm going to go ahead and put that bet in right now. There you go. I'm going to put that in. For me, my final cash game cornerstone is going to be an old man. It's going to be Bill Haas. I have the punt somewhere. I do like Hickok. I play him in GPPs. But, I mean, at some point in time, I had the punt. He's made 4 of his last 5 cuts on tour, 6 of his last 7 here at Copperhead Resort. Like I said, I am not the biggest fan.
But can he make any birdies? I don't know.
I don't care. Just make the cut. That's all I care about for my cash game cornerstones. He's going to be my cheapest by a lot. So we'll go ahead and use Bill Haas, my cash game cornerstones this week. Usti at 9,900. Burns at 9,600. Answer at 9,300. And Haas at 6,500. Still leaves you 14.6 to make the rest of your lineups. Other guys I do like. I like your Perez call up there. Are we going to play Von Taylor this week? And of course, that he enjoys.
I don't think so. No, because again, for Von Taylor, it's like you have to catch an awesome short game in Putting Week, and I don't really want to play that game. Oh, there is one more name that I want to give you if you want to make cut for GPPs. Uh-huh. Jimmy Walker will make the cut.
I looked at him as well. Kirk Kitayama, another guy that I've been looking at. But you know, I'll go with the hook. I'll play a hell of a lot of them on GPPs. Yep. You almost talked me into playing him in cash right before the show started, but we'll stick with my guns. It's been going well so far, except for like, you know, the Alex Chicka idiot call that I had a few weeks ago. Other than that, it's been pretty good. So we'll go ahead and stick with Bill Haas. Hopefully he continues his good course form and cut making abilities in the last few weeks to a month on tour. All right, so let's get to anybody else you see down here in the low range. We're missing anybody.
No, but I mean, I'm going to have to play these guys because, if I'm doing double stud. Perez, Hickok, definitely my favorite. Walker, I'll play. I may play Liviota. He gained 5 strokes.
He looked last week. He looked better last week.
He had no short game, but he gained 5 strokes approach. And again, like, that's a guy who can make birdies and, you know, I would take him over Bill Haas personally.
Yeah, I know most people take a lot of people over Bill Haas. I just need a made cut from Bill. Bill,
do it. Let's cut do it.
For me, please. Yeah. All right. So let's get to bets for this week. Right. I'll go ahead and do my card for the week. Hold on. It said an error happened when I tried the bet
Hickok. Oh, they're going to cut your Hickok line down, aren't they?
That's what it looks like. Hold on.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
It should probably be 200. But...
We're good to go. Okay, all right. Good. So my bets for this week are going to be Dustin Johnson at 18-1. Abe Anser at 35-1. Keegan 50-1. Hadwin 60-1. And then CT Pan 140-1. Schwab 150-1.
Got it. I also have Hadwin. I bet Kevin Kisner at 70-1. I bet Gary Woodland at 70-1. That's more of a, I may fade him in DFS. Let me just bet Gary Woodland just in case he wins. I bet Bubba at 80, just kind of felt like a bad number. And if I'm using TPC River Islands, that's my guy. And then Hickok at 350.
All right. One and done. I think I'm going Burns. I think I might waste Burns this week.
I am so bad in this. I have just toast. Had Rory last week. I actually took Burns as well. So we'll be on the same page there.
All right. Why don't you tell everyone where they can find you there, Ryan?
Well, they can find me here for the next couple of weeks.
That's true.
We'll have Golflandia. We actually recorded about an hour ago, so that should be out tonight. And DMs are open and Twitter's open, so you guys can shoot over any questions you have.
What's your Twitter handle? Why don't you let them know?
rbaroff427.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at KendoVT. You can find my article on gupscorner.com. Use promo code Kenny. Save yourself 30% on a membership to Gups Corner, which includes a risk-free 7-day trial. Should be a fun week. Hopefully there's no weather delays and we get 4 days of good weather, good Florida golf, nothing too crazy. Yeah, no wave stacks. Let's just win some motherfucking money, DJ Nation.
I've been getting dirty money, Jordan Belfort, stacking penny stocks while I'm flipping these birds, sipping on Ciroc, trip them up with the words. I done popped the molly and I think it's be my third.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one?
Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.